Rep. Gray?
To the chair, what does the amendment do again?
The amendment includes these treatments under Alaska Medicaid as well, on top of private insurance. So it would guarantee that Alaska Medicaid covers these services as well. Brief at ease. Discussion for Amendment N1.
Madam Chair, I remove my objection.
Thank you. Any other objections to Amendment N1? Hearing none, Amendment N1 is adopted. We will move on to Amendment N3. Representative Ruffridge?
I would move Amendment number 3.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Amendment number 3, with the adoption of Amendment number 1, Madam Chair, would simply, I think, as on line 8 is the section, or the line that really is the kind of key element. This is about defraying the cost of coverage for pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders. And this subsection would, or inserting this subsection would change the state's assuming of obligation for cost of pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders if those cost of frails were to be something that happens. So this is an amendment offered for that.
Thank you, Representative Ruffridge. Is there any discussion from the committee? Representative Prax?
Yes, thank you. Am I understanding then if it isn't covered under private insurance or Section 21 insurance, then this, the state picks up the cost? Am I understanding that in summary?
Rep. Ruffridge?
Representative Prox, through the chair, this is dealing with sort of a future what if is what this would deal with. So if the Health and Human Services or successor agency adopts a rule to be published or require the state under any provision or any successor to defray the cost, then this subsection would not author or affect any coverage that is, and the state would not assume, so it protects the state's cost metrics for coverages if something were to change in the future with this coverage from a federal level with Medicaid.
Rep. Gray?
Thank you. Through the chair, to the maker of the amendment, can you give some specific examples so that I understand better what this amendment does, like an example when this amendment would come into play?
The example for this amendment, if it were to come into play, would be a change that, well, frankly, we are just prohibiting from having any effect to the state. This is a protection of cost to the state. So if you demand that Medicaid cover this thing, which is, it sounds like Medicaid already does, so this what if is already somewhat very what if-y, if I can make up a term. So sorry, Chair Mina. It's on the record now. Okay. If that is required from the federal government to say, no, we are now, because that's rumors that we hear sort of through that there's a defraying of cost that's going to happen at the state level, that the state would not have to assume the obligation for the coverages that we just demanded under Medicaid in this amendment number 1.
Follow up? So if it came into play, we would say, sorry, federal government, we have a law. You have to continue to do it? Is that what you have to continue to pay for it? You can't move this cost onto us because we passed a law saying that we can't pay for it?
Through the chair, Representative Gray, yeah, for this specific thing.
Follow up.
Brief at ease. So just We're having a really great discussion on Hospital 292. And due to some time constraints, what I'm going to do is return to the discussion on these amendments to next Tuesday's HES committee. And we're going to extend the amendment deadline to Monday, March 16th at noon. So thank you, Representative Colomb.
Madam Chair, I think just for being clean, potentially we will just withdraw Amendment Number 3 for right now so that it's not sitting on the table and we can offer it when we come back on Tuesday of next week. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I withdraw Amendment Number 3.
Great. Thank you. All right. We will now move on to our final item on the agenda, and thank you, everyone, for being patient. Our last item is Hospital 242, sexual assault by healthcare worker. Rep. Hannon and staff, please come up, introduce the bill. And I know we also have invited testimony, and so with respect to our invited testimony, I'm also happy to help turn over to that as well. Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Representative Hannon, House District 4, and we're going to do this a little out of order, out of courtesy of the invited testimony that's here today. Although this bill is a very narrow bill and it's very straightforward, it deals with sexual assault by a healthcare worker while you're getting treatment. It stems from a very high-profile sexual assault case that happened here in Southeast. The case was tried in Juneau last fall, and it became apparent there was a loophole in the law, and a couple of the victims' cases could not be pursued. One of those victims is with us today, and I'd like her to have the opportunity, to talk to you before we talk about closing that loophole, but to come to understand why we need to close that loophole. So we do have an invited testimony. Jamie Lynn.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Jamie Ann Zechtin Hasselquist, Tlingit Kena Zechtin. My people come from Angoon, but I was born and raised here on Occoquan territory, just a block up the street. And I actually worked in this building as sergeant at arms from 2002 to 2004, I believe. And so I've had some experience of being in these rooms, but not in particular committee. I'm really grateful for you all being here and allowing me to speak on HB 242 today. I'm also president emeritus of Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 2 Juneau, the same camp as Elizabeth Prodvich. I'm here today to speak because of what happened in my case. That was mentioned earlier by Representative Hannon. What happened in my case shows exactly why this law needs to change. I trusted a healthcare provider because I believed I was finally receiving help. Many of us understand that trauma can live in our bodies and that hands-on therapy can be a part of the healing. I believed I was in the care of receiving help. Instead, that trust was violated. In a medical setting, there is a very real power imbalance. Patients come in seeking help and relief from pain, injury, and trauma. We are told to trust the professional in the room. When someone in that position crosses a line, it can be confusing in the moment. You may know something feels wrong, but you're also trying to understand whether that's part of the treatment or not. For Alaska Native women, this context matters even more. Many of us carry trauma that did not start in our own lifetimes. We are survivors of United States policies that harmed our people, including the residential boarding school institutions that attempted to erase our cultures and our families. Those schools didn't close until 1976 in this state, and I was 4 years old at the time. The impacts of that history live in our bodies and in our communities. Many Alaskan Native people seek care, such as massage, physical therapy, or other forms of body work, because we understand that the trauma can be carried physically as well as emotionally. For some of us, that trauma is also personal. Many Indigenous women have experienced sexual abuse earlier in life. That can make situations in medical settings even more confusing. When someone you trust as a professional crosses a line, it can be difficult to process what is happening in the moment. When a healthcare provider abuses that trust, it is not just a violation of a patient. It is a violation of someone who came in seeking help, someone who came in seeking healing. I was one of more than a dozen women who came forward in a criminal case involving a healthcare provider here in Juneau. In my situation, the person who harmed me was acquitted of the charges related to my experience. Hearing that verdict was another confusing moment. How could a perpetrator just be acquitted? What became clear through that case is that the law itself contains a gap, and that the current statute requires that the victim be unaware that the sexual act is happening. If a patient realizes what is happening, even if it is clearly inappropriate and unwanted, the law may not apply in the same way. That does not reflect the reality of how abuse can occur in a medical setting. The current law creates a gap that allows perpetrators to use their professional power and position over patients. Awareness does not mean consent. Awareness does not mean a patient feels safe enough to stop what is happening or challenging a medical provider. That gap allowed the person who harmed me to avoid accountability. That gap allowed the person who harmed me to avoid accountability. House Bill 242 helps close that gap. It recognizes that sexual assault by a healthcare provider is an abuse of power, regardless of whether the patient realizes what is happening in the moment or not. Patients should be able to seek care for healing without fear that their trust will be used against them. And passing this bill helps ensure that what happened in my case does not happen to someone else. So I thank you today for looking over House Bill 242, for listening to me and hearing my testimony. I'd also like to thank Representative Hannon and her staff, Hunter, for working on this bill to close the gap. Ganeshchish for hearing my words today.
Thank you, Ms. Hasselquist, for your testimony, for being here. I'm incredibly sorry for what's happened to you and so many other women, and I really want to thank you and appreciate you being here and making a change in the law.
Thank you. I am really in hopes that this just doesn't happen to someone else again. I had put so much trust into that relationship. I made that person a part of my healing. I'm also a part of an opioid prevention. It's called it's with the CDC, and it's called RX Awareness. It's a campaign for opioid prevention. And the CDC came here to interview me right before COVID, and magically about 10 days later I got sick. But anyways, I needed someone to be there for that testimony when I did my interview, and I didn't realize it. They said, you need to call someone. Do you have a physical therapist, someone behavioral health? And I was able to contact that person, my provider, and they were the ones that was there when I came out after telling my trauma story. And that is the person I put my trust into, and that is the person who harmed me and was acquitted on charges and is still facing charges. But this loophole in the law is attached to this old statute, and this HB 242 will help close that so that it doesn't happen to other people. So Ganesh Cheesh again, thank you for hearing my words.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to note that we did talk about a committee version N that was distributed earlier to the committee. We will not be moving forward that committee version today. We are currently going to put House Bill 242 aside and return to it at a later date, and that concludes our committee business for today. Thank you so much for being here. I do want to note that Rep. Mears did join us at 4:15 p.m., and that the next meeting of the House Health and Social Services Standing Committee will be Thursday, March 12th at 3:30 p.m. We will be meeting jointly with Senate Health and Social Services to hear a presentation on the rural health transformation by National Conference of State Legislatures. So note that's Thursday at 3:30. The time is 5:23 p.m., and this hearing of the House Health and Social Services Committee is now adjourned.